Hello and welcome to our program. We're in 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin at verse number 18. If it's possible, have your Bible ready. Reading in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 18, John said, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." It's an interesting study if you get in the Word of God and study the different times. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says that God changes the times and the seasons. Acts chapter 1, verse number 7 says the disciples wanted to know if Jesus was going to restore the kingdom at that time. And he said in verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." And then later in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1, it was time for them to know. It says there, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know." Then in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it talks about sundry times and time past. Acts 17 and verse number 30 talks about the times of ignorance. Then in Luke 21:24, the times of the Gentiles. Acts 3:19, the times of refreshing. And then Ephesians 1 and 10, the fullness of times. Now there's an interesting study for anybody who's interested in studying the scriptures. What time is it? Check it out. Well, it says here in verse number 18, "Little children," keep in mind now that John was writing to some Christians 2,000 years ago. And he said, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now the word Antichrist here simply means anyone who is opposed to Christ. And he said there are many of them. And then in verse 19 he said they, those people who are really unsaved, who are opposed to Christ, it says in verse 19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." What an important verse here. They were with them. They were among them. They were acting like they were saved. Perhaps they even prayed some kind of a little forgiveness prayer minus repentance. In any event, these people were unsaved. They were actually opposed to Christ. And in time, they went out because the preaching would be strong back then, not this mealy-mouth preaching we get today where nobody does anything but preach the smooth things. They preached the truth. They preached the whole counsel of God. And pretty soon, that separated those who were really saved from those who were not saved. So he says in verse 19, "They went out from us," verse 20, "but ye," the Christians, "have an unction from the Holy One and know all things." You know all things? I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit living within me. I don't know how to fix a transmission on a new Honda van. Do I know all things? What is it talking about? Well, like always, if you compare Scripture with Scripture, it'll explain it. And a little further down in verse number 27, it says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." That is, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives within us. "And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things." Now he says you know all things, and the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. That is, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And so John says in verse 26, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." He said, watch out now. He's given a warning. There's going to be those that seduce you. That word has been translated deceive in other places. There's going to be those who are going to deceive you. How am I going to know the difference? Verse 27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Now, does that mean that we don't need these preachers and teachers like the Bible says God has sent out? No, it's talking about the individual Christian being able to know who it is that is seducing you, who it is that would deceive you, for the Holy Spirit within guideth us into all truth. And that is the context of this verse. Now, as we get into chapter 3, we have some verses here that need a little explanation. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That's plain enough. That's what manner of love. Can you imagine that if we were to go outside and lift up a rock and find a bug underneath that rock, and then just send your son to die for that bug, and then they could trust in your son, and they could be called the sons of God? You say, well, you're not comparing bugs with people, are you? Yes, I am. Bugs. For 2,000 years, bugs have not been cursing the name of Jesus Christ. Like a drone going up into heaven, they curse the name of the Son of God, and God has put up with that for 2,000 years. He's not going to put up with it much longer. But bugs don't do that. People do that. But people can also trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and then you can read this verse, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is." And every man that has this hope or this expectation in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Now, here's the verses I'm referring to that need a little bit of explanation. Verse 6, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." Well, that's kind of scary. Do you sin? "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." Then he says in verse number 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." Well, would anybody dare to say, "I never sin"? Verse 9 says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." And it says, "For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Well, I'll tell you what, I'm in trouble if that verse sounds like what it sounds like. Verse 10 says, In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God. Well, that's very interesting. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. What are we going to do with 1 John verse 1 and 8 that says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in him? 1 John 1 and 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, I decided I was saved, and I was saved when I was 12 years old, and I got to traveling down this Christian road, and I decided by that early as a young teenager that if there's any contradictions in the Bible, I'm going to throw it in the trash. And I've been studying it. Now I'm in my 70s, and I'm still studying it, and I haven't found any contradictions yet, and I know I won't. But how do we explain these verses? It says here very plainly, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. And then it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, we need to talk about this at some length, and we'll take a look at it in our next broadcast. But I'll just say this much now, that we need to understand that when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we then have two natures, and one nature battles against the other nature, and this is what this is referring to, and we will explain it in much more detail in the next broadcast. Be sure and tune in.